Hello, everyone, and welcome to the official Star Wars The Old Republic podcast. I'm Brooks Guthrie.
And I'm Eric Musco, and in this episode, we sit down with the combat team to talk about some of the upcoming changes in Game Update 1.2. All right, so we are joined today by two awesome gentlemen from the combat team. And instead of me attempting to pronounce your names, I'm just going to have you guys introduce yourself and what you do.
I'm Austin Peckinpah, and I design classes.
I'm Cameron Winston, and I'm a combat designer.
I was really hoping for something way cheekier, and I was waiting for Cameron to be like, and I fix Austin's changes.
Well, he absolutely does.
Yeah, well, I mean, I do that too.
He sits over my shoulder.
I approve stuff.
And by that, I mean looks over my shoulder, but he could sit over my shoulder too.
Yeah, I mean, because I'm small.
I just imagine us having a combat team of like people designing and then people who sit on their shoulders and then just be like, don't do that. That's bad change.
Well, I mean, it's like, it's very collaborative. I mean, if someone's going to make a change and it's like, well, how does this make you feel? And then we argue about it. I mean, that's just, you know, we're players too.
Cameron does a lot of the more general combat tasks and helps a lot with classes. And I do less of the general combat and the majority of the classwork.
Yeah.
So one of the things I think you guys bring up kind of where we'd want to go with this first is what is one day on the combat team like? What is it like? I mean, is it all Excel spreadsheets and scientific calculators? I mean, what does it look like in the combat team?
I think I could probably take a stab at that one. I think most days start like this. I'm at my computer or something, or Austin's at his computer, and one of us walks in with coffee and makes a statement, something like, I feel this particular class is lacking this or has too much of that. And then we start arguing about it. And then eventually somebody kind of comes up with a theory, whether the argument has merit or not. Then we run some tests. We evaluate our assumptions based on math and, you know, design goals. And then we compare it to our actual experience playing the live game. And, you know, we then, you know, make certain test changes, see how they play out. We'll maybe have some duels and run some content just to see how the changes went. And then from there, we kind of get a good feel of what we should be doing.
I mean, there's a lot of arguing.
Yeah.
Arguing is what I would emphasize.
Yeah. I kind of downplayed it, but.
Yeah, I think half of my time is spent in spreadsheets, and there's not so many scientific calculators as there are just formulas. So it's mostly spreadsheets and arguing. That's my time. I take the other 3% that's left between the 47% spreadsheets and 50% arguing, and I actually implement.
So a lot of stuff happened in 1.2. I mean, a lot of people will see that there's just a ton of class changes that came down the pipe. Mm-hmm. How did you guys work into that? I mean, I know there was you know, the time between 1.1 and 1.2. Did you guys immediately just get right on the docket of being like, this is what we want to change in 1.2?
We did, yeah. A lot of the changes that you see in 1.2 are things we already had in mind for the launch game. And some of those, we aren't confident enough to make them, or it is a time constraint, or there's any other number of factors that keep us from doing something like that. But for the most part, the changes that you see in 1.2 are things that we've been playing around with for a very long time already. So there's not a lot of come up with an idea, slap it in, send it out there. We've really had most of these ideas for a while now.
And a lot of it also is, you know, we started playing the live game with everyone else. I mean, like, we, you know, you play the dev builds and the test builds, and that's like, you know, slice of, right? You get a level 30 character, but it's not your character, you know what I mean? And so a lot of...
Yeah, you play a lot differently when it's your character.
Yeah, and so when we actually get to play the game and see how it plays, a lot of it is based on assumptions that we made that were wrong, or maybe, you know, we find it plays differently than we expected, and then we can make changes based on our feedback, and then, of course, you know, the feedback from forums and other players we talk to and stuff like that.
So speaking of, we've mentioned now assumptions and spreadsheets. A lot of times we'll run our math and a player will do his math and they'll say, hey, I did this and it's not the same as what's in the game. What's up with that? We look at it and we say, your math is right, but we have a whole set of modifiers that we call assumptions that change our math. So it is the context on top of the math. And when we that's the kind of thing that Cameron's talking about. When we get to play the game, we can actually, like, it's easy to validate math. Playing the game a lot gets us to actually validate our assumptions. And then we have to modify our assumptions when we see that they're not quite the way we thought they were.
Like an example is if I say, you know, you're designing an ability to vacuum and it's got like a 15-second cooldown and you're assuming that the fight lasts for 2 minutes, you can say, well, it's a 15-second cooldown, it's a 2-minute fight, you're going to use that ability 8 times. But then you play the fight and it turns out that you can't just use it every 15 seconds. Maybe you're only using it 4 times or 5 times. And as a result of that, it doesn't quite hit the balance targets you had in mind. And then after you get that feedback of actually playing the game, you go, whoa, this assumption was totally wrong. We assumed 8, but it's actually 4. Is 4 is closer to the reality. And that's really important work. And that's where a lot of the conversations start with, hey, I was playing it last night. And remember how we thought it was 8? It's totally 4. And then it's an argument. And then, you know, that's how the days go.
50% of Austin's day right there.
And then it's a large amount of my day too. I mean,
So you guys talk about arguments in the pit, obviously. There's also a lot of arguments and conversations going on the forums. And mm-hmm. I know you guys pay attention to that. Like, yeah. What's that process of, you know, seeing the conversations that are happening in the forums and then taking that to your work?
Obviously, in my role as a developer, I can't just post on every thread because as soon as I say something in yellow text, it becomes BioWare saying something.
Right.
So I have to be very careful with what I say and how I say it because I know how everything works. And a lot of times players don't.
He knows how everything works.
Yeah. I mean, like that's my role. It's like is to know how these things work. And so like when I don't want to say this is exactly how this works or that works. And sometimes, you know, certain things aren't communicated well to the players. So I like to read the forums and I take them in context and I say, okay, based on what they're experiencing, what are they trying to say? What is the problem they're trying to identify? Because sometimes people think that there's a certain problem with which they've identified, but it's actually a completely different problem. And that's what we have to kind of focus
on.
So
we read the forums, and if you're listening to this and you also post on the forums, we love reading posts on the forums that have good feedback. We see the same kinds of things that you guys do. A lot of the times when there's something that's aggravating, it's not news to us. What we like seeing are creative ways to address those problems. And sometimes that's absent in a lot of these posts. So we definitely read the forums. There's a lot of good feedback to get from there, but it all has to be validated. Like we'll find that someone has a concern with a certain build or playing that build in a certain environment. And there's a lot of time spent into actually seeing if that's a valid concern.
Like I can give a very concrete example of like, you know, good post, bad post. Like there was this one post that was on the Marauder forums that caught my eye, which a guy basically posted. He said, hey, there's this talent that says it does X, but I think it does Y. And I read that, and it's very easy for me to look at the game and see if he's right. Turns out he was right. And then we had to fix some of that, right? That was a great post. I mean, that post alerted me to a bug that I didn't even know existed until I read that post. And we wouldn't have fixed it. We wouldn't have caught it without that post.
Right.
That's a great post. Now, a post that isn't quite so great is a post that they do two things. They're very focused on themselves and their experience, and then they also start the post with an assumption. I'll give you an example. As we all know, or as widely known, you know, snipers only do 4 damage. I would like it more if they did something else. And when I read
8 damage,
yeah, I would like it more is like, you know, I would like it more is not feedback I can take seriously. We're looking at the whole game, you know, and so when I see a post like that, I have to read between the lines. Is a lot of work for me. I have to say, what is this person actually saying? When they say the snipers do 4 damage, is that a reasonable contention? Like, is the assumption even right? So it's a lot of work for me. So I'm not going to spend as much time reading that post as I'm going to read the post where the guy says, this particular mechanic that says it does this, which I expect to do this, is actually doing this in my experience. That's a great post with a lot of information that I can do something with.
So you guys take all that information, you're coming from all sources internally, externally, on the forums, and then obviously you take that and put it into what is coming up in the next patch. And obviously we've got 1.2 coming basically right now at this point. What are some of the big things coming from the combat team in 1.2?
One of the big things is we're going to try and address healing across all of the classes that have access to healing roles. And the issue specifically there that we feel needs addressing is some classes just have an easier time healing than others. The big one is with sorcerers and sages. We identify that there's actually an exploit that's being taken advantage of there, where a buff that you're supposed to only get to apply to one of your abilities, you can get applying to multiple abilities before it gets consumed. So that goes a long way to addressing a concern like that. And that's a really easy thing to explain, and it sounds like it's a small deal. But of course, player perspective is that sorcerers and sages are just better healers. When we take that away, I think it's going to make a pretty significant difference in terms of leveling all of our healers out. Of course, there are some other things with the other roles, or the other classes, I should say, that needed to be addressed. Like, you're going to see that the operative and scoundrel AoE healing abilities are being improved a little bit. You're going to see that they can build up more tactical advantage, more upper hand, so they can sit on those a little bit easier, have more of them to throw out when the need arises, and it'll last longer, that kind of thing. So there's some quality of life in there, and then there's also just some numbers tweaking.
The thing that I think is going to be great for healers in 1.2 is that the perception that sorcerers can heal forever, and that operatives and scoundrels and commandos and bounty hunters, they run into this part where they can't heal anymore. And the goal is actually that, you know, all classes are like that. You know, all healers have, you know, a resource pool to manage. And the fact that sorcerers basically didn't have to manage their resource was a problem. And it wasn't that, you know, operatives and commandos needed to have infinite resources. It was that the sorcerers and the sages had too many.
And one of the other things that's big in 1.2 is Novair Coast. Did I pronounce it right that time?
Yeah.
Good.
Perfect. Novair Coast.
Wait, you have to give your example of how you pronounce it correctly, Cameron.
Oh, is that my job?
Grace us.
Yeah. So, you could say that you were in the middle of Novair.
There you go. That is how you pronounce it correctly. That will stick with you forever.
Forever. You'll never mispronounce it again.
Right. So that's a new war zone, which always means, I would think, that means a new way of looking at combat, since it has different mechanics, a different layout in the environment. How did you go about approaching combat in regards to Novair Coast?
We have a whole PvP team that is more intimately involved with the actual design of the war zone. We give our feedback on that. We, of course, play test it. We help out. So I definitely don't want to speak for them. But one thing I will say I really like about Novair Coast is it's much more open than what you've seen in other war zones. You can really see where all the movement is, where the momentum is, where the teams are building up, where they're rolling out to a lot better. And we were talking about snipers recently. As a sniper, there's some really great sniping perches in that place too. And you're not so tightly cloistered that you can't take advantage of it. So that's pretty exciting.
Yeah, definitely. Just as a sniper, in our internal playtests of the Warzone, I was playing
Gunslingers too, by the way.
Yeah, Gunslingers too. Yeah, it's like if you're gunslinging or sniping from a spot where you get these big open arcs of fire, it just feels awesome to be able to support your team like that. And actually, one of my favorite things is guys running away from you and you got that real long range takedown and he's trying to get to support his friends and you just take him down and boom, and there he is dead. And you just go back and defending your point. That was a great feeling. And I love how, you can actually kind of, because all the points are kind of have that height advantage. So you as a defender can kind of look down at people coming from you. You can see how the fight at the other places are going, and that's really great.
Yeah. I want to add real quick too, there's also a great feeling of push and pull when you're taking the points. It's not just a capture and it's mine. If you happen to get it off before someone interrupts you, the capture mechanic actually has a push and pull element to it. So it takes, there's actually like a tug of war feeling is the best way to describe it.
Do you actually have two of you trying to capture it at the same time?
You can
cancel each other out?
Yes.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, and one of you should probably consider attacking the
other. Yeah, it's like Republican Empire, or both, since it's both ways, standing yes. right next to each other, just going, hey, stop capturing this point.
That's absolutely
possible.
You just
shoot the guy.
Exactly. Just throw a little blaster bolt his way.
That is how you solve all of the problems.
That's how I solve all my problems. I just,
Absolutely.
We're talking about the game, right?
Totally. Yeah. Shooting people is not something that happens in real life, only in game.
So the last thing I'll ask you guys before I let you go is, what are you looking to accomplish in 1.2? 1.2 is just a tremendous content patch, and there's a ton of combat changes coming to it. What were you guys looking to get out of 1.2? I know you guys have obviously put a lot of work into it.
And with that, what do you look for going forward?
One of my main goals for 1.2 is I wanted to sort of clean up some of the trees that I felt the mechanic was too late to get into. Some of the changes to the rage tree, you'll see that Rage and Focus are going to be able to be accessed a lot more quickly. The Annihilation and Watchmen specs and the Marauders and Sentinels are going to have more spread out kind of utility. And that was kind of one of the things I really wanted to do for 1.2 that I was working with Austin on to try to kind of make that happen. And from the PvE side, I've also developed a new heroic world boss for the area who is on Voss, who will be pretty exciting to see. And
do you want to call him out by name?
Yeah, he's called the Nightmare Pilgrim.
The Nightmare Pilgrim. Yeah, that is epic.
It sounds like a band name.
Yeah, and he has a pet.
Yeah, and he has a pet, the Thing from the Stars. And basically, like, I'll let you discover him, so to speak, but you'll definitely be able to see where he's at Voss. And it's my hope that he'll be among the more challenging of open world encounters that players have ever experienced. And that was really one of my main focuses for the 1.2 patches, is working on that guy.
There's a lot of things that we wanted to address that weren't so much balance issues. They were just ease of use and quality of life and kind of maintenance related tasks. Like I said before, there are things that we couldn't get in earlier. But then there's also actually some gameplay changes. I don't want to just focus on the maintenance. There's also some gameplay changes in there. And largely those are done because of us playing the game, seeing that what was there didn't work, hearing it from you guys, and then coming up with a cool new way to do something that turns out to hopefully be balanced in the end. And when I say hopefully, I mean we did test it first.
Yeah, we definitely, like, we test all of our content, you know, extensively and over a lot of times. You know, both Austin and I have thousands of hours of just playing the game in the context that we've built up over years, you know, over several builds of the years. And we've played each other in duels. We've fought in war zones together. We fought in war zones against each other. We've done heroic content, raid content, every content in the game we've played, and a lot of these changes are the culminations of the amount of time that we've spent playing it and talking about it, talking to you guys. Like, I got to talk to a bunch of you guys at the Guild Summit. So if I talk to you at the Guild Summit, hey, how's it going? It was nice to hear from you directly. And, we take all that feedback seriously. And ultimately, you know, we're trying to make the game better for everyone. You know, that's really the goal of anything, is right to make the classes play better overall, you know, and no matter what class you're playing.
All right, well, Austin, Cameron, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thanks for stopping by to talk to us about combat. Hopefully everyone will be excited about what comes out at 1.2.
Thanks for having us. Yep.
Thanks again to Austin and Cameron for taking time out of their day to spend some time with us talking about what's coming up in Game Update 1.2. I'm super excited for all the changes coming into the game. Musco, what's your favorite thing you're looking forward to in Game Update 1.2?
The legacy system as a whole is super awesome, so I think that's the obvious one. So taking that aside, I have to say Novar Coast.
Yeah.
I've got to play that Flashpoint in some of our play that Warzone in some of our internal testing, and it was just, it's so, so much fun. It's such a different experience than the rest of our Warzones. I really had a good experience with it.
It is. I love just being able to be anywhere on the map and see exactly what's going on at any given time.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Lots of awesome changes. And yeah, we're doing a podcast now, so keep looking for more episodes. But in the meantime, Musco, why don't you tell everyone where they can find us?
Sure. So there's a couple different places that you'll be able to get information on our podcast as they come out. As always, you can go to StarWarsTheOldRepublic.com, where you'll be able to find this podcast, which may be where you're listening to it right now. You'll also be able to find our show notes and a transcript of this episode. As always, you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. If you like the show, please feel free to rate it and comment on it there. You can also, as always, find us on Facebook and Twitter. You can find links to that through our site as well. And if you want to comment on this podcast, do you have any suggestions or anything for us, there'll be a forum post that you can leave your comments and let us know what you think of the show. All right, so that'll do it for us for this episode then. And thank you guys, and see you next time.
May the force be with you.